NamNab is a podcast that deals with the grisly details of a variety of topics, including true crime cases, government cover-ups, conspiracies, and the paranormal. This content is not suitable for everyone. Viewer discretion is advised.
She was murdered.
Summer dudes.
Welcome back.
This is not a monster, not a boogeyman.
I'm Naomi.
I'm Janae.
I'm Les.
And we are going to wrap up Dahmer today. Fucking finally.
Oh, thank God.
I cannot wait until I don't have to hear this ever again.
If you've listened to all three parts, thank you for sticking with us now for the third week. And we'll get this shit over with.
Yeah.
Very educational.
Again.
Oh, boy.
If you haven't heard the first two, go back. You'll be lost. Mm. Why are you here?
You did this to yourself.
This is three.
Three. Part three.
Okay. Tracy had been out with three friends on July 22nd when they were approached by Dahmer, who was offering money to them to come take pictures, drink, and hang out. Tracy agreed. Upon entering Dahmer's home, he was immediately hit with a foul smell, and he could see boxes of hydrochloric acid on the floor. He was distracted by Dahmer, and he was handcuffed before being led to the bedroom, whose walls were covered in nude posters, and there was a blue 57-gallon drum in the corner where the smell was emanating from. The Exorcist 3 was also playing on the TV. Dahmer approached him with a knife and asked him to take photos. Tracy agreed to take the pictures if Dahmer would put away the knife and remove his handcuffs. Dahmer's response to this was instead to stare at the TV and watch The Exorcist with an empty look in his eyes as he rolled back and forth and chanted. He approached Tracy and put his head on his chest to listen to his heartbeat, telling him that he intended to eat his heart. Obviously terrified, Tracy was planning his escape. He knew he could run out the front door the first chance he had, or he would throw himself from the window before he let Dahmer kill him. He began to tell Dahmer that he was his friend and that he would not run, asking if they could go back to the living room and continue drinking, where we kind of see that fawn response we were talking about a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. Smart thinking, though.
Yeah,
it's smart thinking
for real. Dahmer just wants a friend.
Yeah. Yeah, if you play to that, he kind of goes along with it.
He saw his chance and he punched Dahmer in the face, knocking him off balance and dashing out the front door. He flagged down two police officers who noted the handcuff on his wrist. Kind of a weird flex here, but he asked the police to remove the handcuff, but it was only when the key the officers had did not match the brand of the handcuff that did he tell them about Dahmer.
They don't fucking notice a guy with a hole drilled in his head talking to them, but they notice handcuffs.
Yep.
Wait, did he was he drilled?
No, the guy before.
Oh, right.
Had a hole drilled in his head.
Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying.
Okay.
Stupid ass.
Priorities.
Scooby-Doo cops. No good.
So he told them about Dahmer and the apartment that he had just spent 5 hours trying to escape from. When Tracy and the officers arrived, Dahmer invited them in and confessed that he had, in fact, put the handcuffs on him and that the key was on his bedside dresser. I think he was trying to get them to, like, figure it was another gay thing so that they would leave.
Right.
He went to go retrieve the key, and the officer told him to, like, basically stay back in the living room because he was like, no, I'm doing this. Which fucking thing?
They don't know what the fuck the smell is. Supposed to be trained on that kind of fucking shit, dude.
Well, he also goes into the bedroom and, like, sees the drum and doesn't think anything of it when it's making smell.
How the fuck did the guy that was about to get killed before you put two and two together? But you're a fucking police officer.
Yeah. Well.
Oh my God.
So the officer goes in, notices the large knife underneath the bed, and he also found Dahmer's collection of Polaroids with the dismembered bodies. And it was like an open drawer, so like the officer could easily find it, which is kind of strange.
And they're like, what is this that I'm looking at? Could you spell it out for me?
Piles of them. I think it was a little, he took over 75 Polaroids or something.
Whoa.
And he just like left it open?
Yeah. I don't know if maybe because he was, like, trying to show them to the guy prior to, like, scare him. Right. Or if he did it to get caught. I don't know. That's not very clear.
That was
clear.
My question, yeah.
But he's just, like, I think he likes to see if the police are even going to notice.
I think he was overly confident.
Yeah.
And, like, absolutely. If the police officer went into his bedroom?
Yeah, to go get the handcuff key.
Oh, I thought he said to wait in the living room. But
he told Dahmer to wait in the living room.
Oh. What a fucking idiot, then. Oh.
Oh, my God.
So, Shock, the officer, brought the pictures back to his partner to show him what they were dealing with. Upon seeing the Polaroids, Dahmer flipped and attempted to fight the officers and resist arrest, but was overpowered and put under arrest. Officers called for backup when Tracy opened the fridge and found the freshly decapitated head. Investigators found an additional 3 heads in the apartment at the time.
Dude,
the laughter is because of discomfort.
Yes,
I'm just shooketh. It's not funny.
There was also 7 skulls, 2 hearts, 2 whole skeletons, a pair of severed hands, 2 preserved penises, a mummified scalp, 1 torso just kind of chilling, 2 additional torsos dissolving in the acid in the 57-gallon drum, portions of an arm muscle, and a bag of organs and flesh. There were 74 Polaroids detailing the various dismemberments that had taken place there, and the medical examiner that was put on this case compared collecting evidence from Dahmer's apartment more akin to taking apart a personal museum rather than a crime scene. So,
I feel like the only thing that we've covered that even rivals this as a crime scene is Ed Gein's home.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Question.
No, Gacy's pretty bad though too.
That's true.
Oh my god, Gacy was like 36 bodies or whatever, 33. Yeah.
Again, I always just think of House of 1,000 Corpses whenever they talk about going through serial killer homes. That's all I can imagine.
Never seen that movie.
It is bad.
Oh, it's good.
No.
Yeah,
it's bad.
Yeah.
No. Questioning began July 23rd, 1991, and continued for over 60 hours. Dahmer waived his right to a lawyer and confessed to all of his crimes, saying he had, quote, created this horror, and it would only make sense he do everything to put an end to it, end quote. He admitted to having murdered 16 men in Wisconsin dating back to 1987 and Stephen Hicks in Ohio in 1978. He admitted engaging in necrophilia with several of the bodies and even performing sexual acts with their viscera as he dismembered them. He had
Can you define that word? Sorry.
Yeah. Viscera is just the conglomeration of organs in your body. So when your insides become outsides. Yeah. So, it was usually as he was dismembering them, this would be occurring. So, yeah.
My ears.
They bleed.
Dude, the things you had to learn for this case.
Dad, I'm fucking, I'm over it. I'm fucking over it. He had a ritual about how he dismembered the bodies, often hanging them over the bathtub and bleeding the bodies out as he removed the organs. He would dice and put flesh in acid as he did not wish, like what he didn't want to keep, he would put in acid, and then he would pulverize the bones. And then what he did want to keep, he bleached and preserved, and would he would consume the hearts, livers, biceps, and thighs of several of his victims. Dahmer felt completely wrapped up in his compulsion to kill. It got stronger, and he felt the need to be with somebody attractive at all times, which fueled his killing. He kept the skulls and bones in attempts to make an altar to himself, a place where he could feel at home and meditate. He felt it would be the place he could draw a sense of power from, and that the police, if the police had arrested him just 6 months later, they would have found that instead of the parts. Which is kind of what I wanted to bring up, this weird addition of an altar for him to get power from. And then those who are weird like me and wanted a description of it, this is what is written in his father's book about his plans for the altar. This display of skulls was to be adorned on each side with the complete skeletons of Miller and Lacey. The 4 severed heads found in the kitchen were to be removed of all flesh and used in his altar, as was the skull of at least one future victim. Incense sticks would be placed on each end of the black table, above which Dahmer intended to place a large blue lamp with blue globe lights. Globe lights. The entire construction was to be placed before a window covered in a black opaque shower curtain, in front of which Dahmer intended to sit in a black leather chair.
Weird.
Yeah.
What the fuck is this? Where did this come from?
Exactly. It's ritualistic. Very strange. And that, like, it brought on that sort of additional thing into this case that I didn't expect.
I'm sure Satanic Panic enthusiasts took that and fucking ran with
it. Yeah. Because, like, that's not what I'm thinking reference either. To this.
No, this and is, that's, like,
it's so oddly specific, considering that later on he, like, spoilers, he joins the Christian religion. He becomes a born-again Christian.
Yeah.
So, it rubs me a weird way.
That's so weird.
So that weird God complex again.
Yeah, yeah, it's grandiosity.
Yeah.
All of it has been very particular too. Like, if you're not partial to his levels of sexual attractiveness, then you're not killing
or
eating.
Part of my altar.
Right.
Right. And even if I kill you, I'll get rid of your body.
I'm
entirely.
Not gonna keep you like my other mates. Yeah.
Is an interesting take because I've never heard that before. I've never heard that before.
Well, and it was like it was in his dad's book about it. So I'm like, I kind of trust that this happened because even after all of this shit came out, he and Dahmer was still incredibly close.
Yeah.
Like his father would visit him all the time and they were on like good terms. So Dahmer was charged with 11 counts of first degree murder in Wisconsin as well as the murder of Hicks in Ohio. He was not charged for the attempted murder of Tracy or the murder of Stephen Twomey, as he could not remember it, and there was no physical evidence this crime existing. Dahmer pleaded guilty, but insane, to 15 counts of murder in his preliminary hearing on January
13th, 1992.
Bullshit. Uh-huh.
That insanity defense is crap.
Yep.
I wish the insanity defense had actually something to do with mental health.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Because
that's not exactly right. And no, fuck no, he's not insane in that sense of the word.
No.
Fuck no, dude. You smart little motherfucker.
Yeah. Like he went to great lengths to hide the fact that he was murdering people. Like he's
a professional. A professional at getting rid of that shit.
Seriously. Yeah.
But here's my question. Was the discarding of remains for police like avoiding police, or was it because of his fascination that he's had since a kid with bodies?
Yeah,
like a little bit
point.
Of both.
Could
you
just
know?
Be another part of his hobby, and that like he would keep things. So I don't know if he's trying necessarily to hide it from the police. I feel like it's more of they're just like not useful to him, so he gets rid of them.
Fair.
Like there's a certain level of if you
like
kind
to me, it feels a little
avoid
bit more like
police.
That.
Is that what it is? Is like knowing that this is a crime and choosing not to anyway, or not being able to realize that you're committing a crime? Does it have to do certain? It's a legal term.
I think legally it means that you are not like aware of like
of the differences between right and wrong.
Yeah,
that's how they define insanity when we're discussing.
And
the
that's
insanity.
Fucking stupid because in that case maybe he is insane in that case, right?
Right.
And so no, but in my opinion, how I would take it is like, did he plot specifically to avoid getting arrested by the law? Right.
Yeah.
Is he aware of the law and chose to act against it?
Right.
Was he capable of making that decision? Yeah.
Right.
So there's that question, right? But like, he's totally fucking. He's insane, right?
Right. Like, clearly something's fucking wrong.
Delusional.
Yeah.
We do not know if he's in control of his actions, especially since he's getting blackout drunk. Do they take that into consideration?
I think that's still, like, if you kill someone while you're drunk, it's still manslaughter.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
So it's not like they take it easier if you're using alcohol or drugs.
Interesting. So
fucking interesting.
So, like, I wonder if. It, and I don't know the answer to this question, but I wonder if it's any different if someone is like diagnosed with a substance use disorder.
Yeah, I wonder about that.
I would wonder that.
It's so funny how we're dealing with mental health issues in a courtroom that has nothing to do with it.
Yep.
I'm pissed.
This whole case is infuriating.
So, as we were literally just saying, the largest debate in this trial was whether Dahmer suffered from a mental or personality disorder. A personality disorder is a type of mental disorder where maladaptive behaviors and cognitive behaviors are formed to deviate from the acceptable societal norms. So just like shit that we like unanimously know not to do,
mm-hmm.
As a society or like within our culture, we're taught what's normal and what's not. His like actively went against it.
But are we though? Like
pretty
we're
much,
not
it's like,
taught that.
It's a
you know?
Silent thing, cause,
right.
So it's meant like you're supposed to be able to pick it up. So you know, like don't scream in public, don't scream in the middle of a store. but somebody might instead with this right, be like, it's okay saying. For me to scream in the middle of a store.
I thought we they were don't talking in the up.
Sense of murder.
But yeah.
Some felt that regardless of the disorder, Dahmer should be able to recognize the criminality of his actions, even if driven by impulses and obsessions. Others felt that his insanity was clear from his necrophilic tendencies, and a forensic psychiatrist diagnosed Dahmer with necrophilia / paraphilia, borderline personality disorder, schizotypal personality disorder, alcohol dependence, which was later changed to substance use disorder, and psychotic disorder.
I was waiting on the phone. Diagnosis.
And when you get into that, though, like, it's like then you're seeing the logic of his actions almost, you know?
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting because the what they keep diagnosing him with changes based off of every single fucking psychiatrist that comes in. So no one's fucking agreeing on anything during these trials.
Right. Not unlike anyone who's had experiences with multiple mental health professionals who... Mm-hmm. don't have the training required to make adequate, accurate diagnoses.
Yep.
So many problems, folks.
To counter the insanity plea of the defense, the prosecution argued Dahmer did not have primary necrophilia and actually preferred live sexual partners as he as shown in his attempts to create submissive, unresistant slaves. He also did not actually have any sort of compulsion to kill, since he would always need to get drunk prior to killing someone, so they felt like he needed to overcome his inhibitions in order to commit these crimes. They pointed out that Dahmer identified strongly with the evil characters in The Exorcist 3 and Return of the Jedi, mainly enjoying their positions of power that they held within these movies. Forensic psychiatrists on the case felt that the murders were the result of, quote, pent-up aggression within... So they felt like the murders were the result of pent-up aggression within Dahmer, and that he killed men because he wanted to kill the source of his queer attraction. He also killed what he hated in himself. Concluding Dahmer was just a sexual sadist with antisocial personality disorder, but was legally sane.
Yeah.
The clinical psychologist felt that crimes were coming from Dahmer's needs for companionship. He referred to Dahmer as pleasant, humorous, handsome, charming, and courteous, but somebody who was not psychotic, but possibly had a personality disorder not otherwise specified, with borderline obsessive, compulsive, and sadistic traits, if you want to explain that one, wife.
Oh, God. Okay. That's a lot of things. So yeah. I would imagine that the primary disorder that he was diagnosed with, you said, was borderline personality disorder.
Yeah.
Which is characterized by feelings of emptiness, strong feelings of loneliness, strong fears of abandonment. So all of that makes a lot of sense to me. The compulsion also makes a lot of sense, given how he was, like, dissecting the bodies. He had almost a ritual, like Les said earlier. It feels almost ritualistic, but I think it's routine instead of ritual. So I guess compulsive describes itself. What was the other thing?
He had sadistic traits and he had a personality disorder not always specified.
Yeah. So they can't really figure out what it is because he has so many features of so many things: antisocial personality disorder, borderline personality disorder, obsessive compulsive disorder. Well, I guess it's obsessive compulsive personality disorder, which are two different things.
Yeah.
But there's so many features of all three clusters of personality disorder. That's why he was diagnosed with something.
Yes.
Not otherwise specified.
After much deliberation, Dahmer was ruled sane and not suffering from a mental disorder at the time of the murders. He was given life imprisonment plus 10 years, as well as 13 counts of life imprisonment plus 70 years, with no chance of death of the death penalty, as it had already been outlawed.
I would argue that he wasn't sane at the time of these murders, but I guess legally... He's
never been sane,
legally, they're saying, like, legally he's... sane, but
I wish they would just say he knew right from wrong. That's easier. Yeah. That's more clear on what you mean.
Yeah, because this man still had horrible mental health issues. Oh, but
They just wanted an excuse to put him in the prison system, which is like the same fucking problem that this whole country has, is like treating the problem after it happens instead of fucking getting it at the source.
And they don't want to offer treating him. The problem. No, all you're doing you're is fucking putting it away in a room.
Yeah. You're putting this person in a cage because you don't want to deal with them.
Right.
When you were the fucking problem, he got there in the first place, had multiple opportunities to save multiple victims.
Yeah. The brutality of Dahmer's crimes brought together the community, who held a candlelight vigil for the victims to help share the pain and anger of the crimes caused. The vigil was attended by over 400 people, including community leaders and gay rights activists. Dahmer's victims had included many people of color, with 9 of the victims being black men and boys. But Dahmer was adamant that the race of his victims were not important, and that he only cared for their attractiveness. There was still obvious tension due to this fact that was further exasperated when the jury only included 1 black individual. Security precautions were put in place to protect Dahmer during this trial, including an 8-foot barrier of bulletproof glass between Dahmer and the gallery.
Like, so little care for the victims.
Yeah. So they didn't give a fuck because Dahmer was a white man.
Yeah.
And actively hunted boys and men of color.
Yeah.
And people like to gloss over that.
Yeah. And, like, even the victims that weren't black, they were Filipino. Mm-hmm. They were
people of color.
Yeah. People of color. It's gross.
They're the most vulnerable. Mm-hmm.
Which especially is fucking obvious to a predator.
Talking about the LGBT community.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sex workers.
And, like, this is a poor community, so you're looking at poor people of color.
Exactly.
So you doing also are
survival sex work.
So doing survival sex work, and you're financially manipulating them, and this is awful. Dahmer spent his first year in prison in solitary confinement due to concerns for his safety among the other prisoners. Dahmer's family visited him often and tried to be supportive of him as he became a born-again Christian. He was baptized but began to wonder if it was a sin against God if he continued to live because of his actions. He began to talk to a minister about death often, and he had come to accept that he would die and that it would be punishment for his crimes. Which is where I'm starting to hear that, like, he feels bad.
Right, the remorse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But again, I still have questions about that because I don't know if he really is remorseful.
Well, and I would argue that it's kind of a selfish reason to show remorse. Like,
yeah,
I'm so awful. Look at me. Look at how horrible I am. I deserve to die.
It's like an Olympics of like, oh, I'm just too bad. Yeah. I'm just too awful. July 1994. Oscullo Dorothy tried to slash Dahmer's throat with a razor embedded in a toothbrush, but Dahmer's wounds were superficial. On November 28th, 1994, however, Dahmer was headed to do his assigned work task for, his time. Inmates Jesse Anderson and Christopher Scarver followed him into the gym. Dahmer's body was found by 8:10 a.m. on the floor of the bathrooms, with severe head and facial wounds showing that he had been bludgeoned with a 20-inch metal bar, and his head had been hit repeatedly on the wall during his assault. He was alive when he was discovered, so he was taken to the hospital, where he succumbed to his injuries an hour later. Anderson had also been beaten to death by Scarver, who told the guards originally that God had told him to kill them, but later revealed that he had been disturbed by Dahmer's crimes, and Dahmer's pranking streak finally led to his death, when he would shape his food into severed limbs, which he used to, like, just scare their inmates and kind of, like, push their buttons, which makes me think he's not really feeling bad.
Yeah. Mm. He's literally like, let me use the clout from my crimes to freak these people out.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
So much power in that.
Yeah.
He's
such the evil villain.
Like, he doesn't feel bad at all, obviously.
No. Right.
He thinks he's untouchable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Goes back to the obsession with the fucking evil characters.
Mm-hmm.
You're not Darth Vader.
Power play.
And Scarver felt that the guards had allowed him to get away with this because, like, they saw him go in and they purposefully did not go and check on them.
Well.
So he's pretty sure the guards helped him kill Dahmer. So that is the end of it. There was, like, a lot of back and forth about, like, whether the families of the victims were happy with his death or they were unhappy with it. His mom, through all of this, since she was separated, like, his dad and stepmom would come visit him very, very often in jail, and they would just check in on him. But his mom held a lot of resentment. Like, she also came and checked on him, but she was like, every morning I wake up and, like, I forget for a split moment that I'm Dahmer's mother. And then it hits me, and she's like, feels guilty for what her son did. And then when he died, she was like, I hope that's what all of you wanted. Jesus and I'm like, Christ. That's kind of fucked up for you to gaslight the families of the people your son killed.
Right.
In first my opinion.
All, yeah.
I don't think it was a satisfying ending for anyone. And no. It doesn't make anyone feel better.
No, because it doesn't bring anyone back. It doesn't change the situation.
Yeah.
I don't know why that's people's first reaction when they hear, like, violence has been enacted upon someone. They're like, oh, well, you must want revenge, right? It's like, no, some people don't think like that. That's actually
part of the problem, right? Violence breeds violence. Gross. Amazing, though. Amazing horrifying job. Yeah.
Between Dahmer and Nilsson, since you did both, which would you say was more, like, difficult to get through and, like, more?
Honestly, Dahmer was harder for me to get through. And you can kind of tell by the difference in length between this one and Nilsson. I think Nilsson was only one episode. Yeah. And while it was still really fucked up, I feel like this one takes it to a different level just because, like, Nilsson fucking kept the bodies. Dahmer brutalized them. And there's so much sexual violence here that it makes me uncomfortable. And also just, I feel like there's a difference in culture with Nilsson and Dahmer that because we live in America, we kind of experience a little bit more similar to what Dahmer's upbringing was versus Dennis Nilsson's, because he comes from a different time also.
Yeah.
And also it's just like, I don't know. He was in England. Yeah. He is gay. So, like, I can identify with a lot of parts of Dahmer, and I feel like that's where a little bit of the empathy comes from, because there's, like, that amount of loneliness, and then being queer, and then there's a lot of parts that just sit badly with me for this one.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's why this one was more difficult for me than Nilsson. Mm-hmm. But
lots of similarities.
Yeah, lots of similarities. It's very, very strange. Huh. Yeah.
Thanks for ruining your brain to tell other people that.
You're welcome. I hope if this is one of your favorite cases, I have questions for you. And also, like, I hope you enjoy these episodes. It was a lot of work. I learned a lot. Jesus Christ.
I always have questions when this is someone's favorite true crime case. I'm like, why, though?
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Let's fucking talk about that, though. It's usually a white guy, and I'm like, can we have a conversation about that?
I see what you mean. So, like, literally fast, like, it's idealizing?
It's a red flag for me.
Oh, yeah. We're not talking, like, oh, we're most interested because we obviously have a true crime podcast.
Oh,
but no.
Course. Oh, no.
No.
Like, they were, like, they respect it? Or,
dude,
like,
okay, like, the Tumblr true crime community idealizes this man. Oh, yeah. It's insane.
Stop putting flower crowns on any serial killer. We'll say that one.
Why do they idolize him? I'm sorry.
Because they just want to fuck everybody.
They want to protect him, right? Yeah. We'll talk about that kind of shit at some point.
Yeah.
Him too. Yeah.
Richard Ramirez.
Yeah.
Why do you want to fuck Richard Ramirez? He smells like that.
Charles. It's been a long day.
It's been a long day. All right. Come back next week. Les will have
Chris Watts, everyone.
Chris Watts.
A local favorite. Just kidding.
Terrible.
No.
Terrible.
But it is local.
Come back next week.
Yes.
Bye.
Bye.